replantings, which has to do with integration into sidewalk design. And this is a draft living document, and you guys can review it and provide feedback and comments, or just ask questions, of course, today, and I'm happy to answer them. But some of the major questions are like, what is a bioswale? And I'd answer it, or what are some of the benefits of incorporating a bioswale or a rain garden in a tree grate? And I'm using bioswale and tree grate bioswale and rain garden interchangeably, terminology-wise. There are slight differences between the two, but for purposes today, they can be used interchangeably. And then I started to talk a little bit about like a traditional tree grate versus this low impact development, like, and how, what are the benefits of this, of kind of capturing stormwater on site as opposed to putting it into our storm sewers. I then made a little chart of the value of these rain gardens and, you know, the value for the environment is increased habitat, we're protecting our regional water quality, we're reducing those combined sewer overflows and stormwater runoff, they could be pollinator friendly habitats. For the residents, it increases community character, quality of life, developers, and then community. So there's more details of, you know, who is this helping and how is it helping them. And then kind of the nitty gritty stuff, which is like maintenance, you know, how do you maintain this once it's installed? You know, who could possibly maintain it? How do you maintain the first tree? Am I responsible for watering it? Well, you know, you can put a gator bag on it and then you don't have to worry about watering it that often. And maintenance responsibility. So there's a couple different ways that different municipalities handle this. And so I just kind of outlined it, whether it's the Parks Department or Public Works. It could be volunteer networks of garden clubs, nonprofits, after school programs. It could also be, you know, if it's planted in front of a commercial property, that business may take ownership over it because it increases their street frontage and their quality of their business. Or it may be, you know, a residential neighborhood might get really, you know, into it. And, you know, I might have one adjacent to my house and take a vested interest in it. So these are just a couple of things that to continue the conversation. And then try to think of some kind of concerns that people may have fears over bioswales and rain gardens because it's changed and it's not something we've seen before. You know, does this attract mosquitoes? Is it going to prevent people from walking down the sidewalk or be an impediment for accessibility or chair users? Will I lose a parking spot? Are we going to be popping the sidewalk like with tree roots? And actually, this is exactly what this solves. So I kind of tried to anticipate some of them. And of course, if you guys have any more questions, I can answer them today or memorialize them in this document. I then pulled some more photographs of what does a bioswale rain garden look like, just because last time I talked with you guys, it was sort of an on the fly. I just pulled something up off the internet and now I've culled some images. So it's a little bit more curated and more in depth. So you can see here it's, you know, low ground cover. It doesn't always have to have a tree. Sometimes a tree might not be appropriate because the verticality may be, you know, an imposition with somebody's front stoop, overhead lines, in which case we could do ornamental trees, but sometimes it just might not be appropriate. So there are certainly options to do streetscape plantings that aren't always trees. This is a New York City DEP graphic, so you can kind of see the curb cut lines kind of collecting water here. You don't always have to have metal fencing. You can have a poured concrete curb. Here's an example of a graphic with poured concrete curb. You can see that there's a depression in the rain garden collecting it, holding it. And then we have the soil and then perforated pipe, which again just slows percolation rates of stormwater and sheet flow runoff. Here's a couple from Queens of their actually built in practice. So sometimes you see this kind of gravel edge here, and that's, you know, snow loading, and just because the area directly adjacent to curbs tends to get beat up a little bit more. So gravel is a good way to combat that, or you can pick like a really aggressive, strong plant. A couple renderings of streetscape of how joyful and amazing this can be. And then you can get the whole community involved in planting them. Doesn't necessarily have to fall completely on the shoulders of a contractor or the department, Parks Department, Department of Public Works. As you guys know, I'm a landscape architect, so doing a construction detail is very easy for me to understand. So I drew a construction detail for you guys, just outlining a section of what it would look like. Hopefully, if you guys have questions,
talk about sidewalks and fixing the sidewalk.
Yeah, so how this ties into the sidewalk is we're pitching the sidewalks a 2% grade away from the building into these bioswales. Then the understory planting suggestions, I just started to come up with a couple combinations of themes. Like if you wanted three seasons of bloom, you could use these three plants. If you wanted green on green, you could use these. If you wanted show off, which is like a very flashy, colorful planting palette with bee balm or echinacea, milkweed, sunflowers, you could do this. All of these plants are happy to live in bioswales. I then made a really great list, if you guys want to read every plant. And then I did a graphic of, you know, an example of where you could place these. I used 5th Street because I happen to live close to this street, so it was easy for me to do measurements and just take a look at it. So understanding benefits of how the sidewalks and streetscape design can be enhanced with street plantings. And here's an example of North 5th and Columbia Street. None of these trees exist. You could still have a corridor for sidewalk ADA compliance walk and still have a bioswale. You're not impacting parking, you're capturing water runoff. And this street, for example, has absolutely no trees the entire block. So that's a huge, obviously, issue for this community to not have any of the benefits that trees provide. A little blow up here, you can see this is the footprint. It's about 10 to 15 linear feet, and it can be anywhere from 2 to 5 feet in width, depending on your sidewalk width. So we want to make sure we always have a minimum of 36 inch walk aisle because that would be in compliance with ADA. And then you can do low maintenance native plants beneath the tree. And then of course the curb cut for all of this runoff. Here's some pretty pictures for those when I was earlier suggesting plants. You know, I can say echinacea, but maybe you're not familiar. What does echinacea look like? So here's just a couple pictures of examples of bioswale or rain garden plants. And some of the things that these plants do, they're more than just pollinator friendly. Some of them are native. Some of them are phytoremediators, which means they clean out the sort of chemicals and toxins that we get from runoff in the soils. And they're drought tolerant and they can handle inundation, meaning that if we stopped maintaining them and completely ignored them, they'd be fine. And then if it poured rain on them, they'd also be fine. So these are tough cookie plants. So that is sort of the end of my little bioswale pitch. And then I'm going to hand it over to Marie. For her component of this, and I see a little chat. Can you send me a copy of the email? Yes, I can, Linda. So if you guys have any questions, please let me know. If not, I can hand it over to my team partner, Marie, who had a couple of thoughts from our walk yesterday too.
So I guess the big question I have is just, is the committee want to continue this conversation, or would the committee want to move on to something else? I just want to make sure everybody's good with
this. The committee is really about the sidewalks per se, not where these would go. And what's occurring to me after this is we really should put you both in contact with the next stage of the street connectivity program, because all these things are kind of being considered there. So it'd be really good for you to contribute. And that's going to start gearing up again very soon as we go into the design stages of the street connectivity, because they are thinking of not just using that little part of the sidewalk, but they're going to even have blowouts that'll provide even more space.
Build outs.
I mean, so I think it'll be really more appropriate to bring you in touch with them. Although it certainly has informed our conversation. One question I have is that more relevant to what this committee is about is, does the design of the actual sidewalk next to the bioswales matter?
It does, in the sense that they have to be done correctly. So yesterday when we were doing kind of a walk through Hudson looking at the sidewalks, there's a lot of installation errors. There's no welded wire mesh, contraction joints aren't in the right places, almost no isolation joints are in the right places. So part of that's a problem in that the contractors selected are either unskilled, there's no oversight, and the quality is completely inconsistent. So we would need the sidewalks to be installed correctly at correct pitches and with the right contraction and isolation joints for durability, because otherwise they're going to start failing, and then the planting beds will also fail in time.
Got it. There's a question from Dominic, and then Marie, if you want to.
Yeah.
Dominic?
Thank you. Just quick question. Aren't these also used for traffic calming in some areas?
Absolutely. Yep, 100%. Rain gardens and trees are considered traffic calming devices.
Okay, thanks. That's what I thought. Thank
you. No problem. How does that work?
How does it work?
As a traffic calming.
Couple different ways. So the bulb outs that you had mentioned are considered traffic calmer because they throttle the flow of traffic. So for example, State Street being extremely wide, you could do a bulb out and that would slow the flow of traffic. The other way that they slow is trees and plantings have been shown statistically to slow drivers because they tend to feel that the street feels more narrow. It's an implied feeling, even though the width is still the same. Just that verticality and canopy slows them down.
And it's interesting because when we do talk about the connectivity project, maintenance is going to be a big issue. You know, we don't, you know, if we put in trees and all these other things, who's going to maintain it? And, you know, so I think you both will have a lot to contribute to that. Marie, did you want to add anything?
No, I just wanted to check to make sure if there are things that this committee needs from the CAC as you're moving forward with this. Having a sort of defined brief would be really good for us, because then we can just comment when you're ready.
It's going to be a law. So yes, when it's ready, we will.
But submit. I mean, if there's something you need us to do while you're having this at some point during this committee, just let us know. We'll move on to the connectivity group if that works, then.
Okie doke. That's good.
Is that good?
Yep.
Does that work?
Yep.
Okay, good.
I've got a question on that, actually, for them, maybe, Tom, that in terms of might be relevant to the law.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Britt, do we know, or generally, on a per-foot basis, how does, you know, the plannings of integrating what you're talking about compare with the traditional construction? And I'm not asking us to criticize or anything, but it goes to the question of, well, the assessments, we have to put an assessment formula into the law or start talking about that. So it's a matter of, you know.
The general rule of thumb for quality, so if you have a 3-inch and above caliper tree, it's usually, I believe, $40 per inch value added to the tree. So you'd have to do, let's say, a 3-inch caliper tree is valued at $2,500 to $5,000, depending on canopy. So that tree adds the value in terms of cost of material. Concrete tends to be $8 a square foot versus plantings run about $4 to $5 a square foot. So it's more affordable to put in, and I can get you some statistics on from developers of adding green spaces and how it increases property values if you want.
And can I just throw something in there? Because Britt was telling me yesterday that since, I mean, what the advantage the city has is that this is a very large project. I mean, this is a citywide project, which means big contractors, people who do this stuff in their sleep, are able to bid on these projects, which actually reduces, you have an economy of scale here that you can take advantage of. So, and they do all of the things that Britt is talking about. This is kind of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
I don't want to take too much of your time, so thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to head off. Thanks.
Bye. Me too. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
So, Jeff, where do we stand with the proposed law?
Well, I've been working my way through it some more and finding there's some other sort of internal inconsistencies that mm-hmm. we're going to have to deal with, and something that they were just talking about made me focus on something else that doesn't necessarily make sense. And one of the stuff we have to talk about is the structure of recommendations for the work that's going to get done under the law mm-hmm. is established under by a public works committee of the council, and it goes through that way. So it'd be a question, you'd have to start codifying a committee, or we can simply in the law just say it's council. And then you could create a committee to do the nitty gritty work each time.
Yeah. That seems more practical.
Might make more sense and give maximum flexibility.
Right. We don't want to get tied into something in a law like we did with the tourism board.
Right. And this is in the charter. And it's a more complicated charter provision than the other one, charter mm-hmm. changes we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another thing I recognized in here, and I understand why it was done, but I don't know if when this was originally drafted, who did it, if you reconciled it with our charter, is how this works with the BEA budget process. Good. Now, the fact is it's a separate district, so it may not be covered by it, but I don't think the city doesn't have any other special assessment districts, right?
Not that I know of. No, I don't think so.
Right. Unlike most towns, which do.
Oh, well, never mind.
If the question is there an authority generally, or would it run afoul of the charter to run this differently, or we're just going to have to run it through the BEA? It's not a big deal. It's just crafting this.
What I'm wondering is if through the BEA could it be a dedicated fund like we have for other?
Yes. Well, that's sort of the whole point is that the BEA would have control over setting the budget for the district.
Got it.
The same way, you know, everything else works, but it's a separate thing, and that allows it to have the specific assessments and the assessments based on frontage, so you get all your tax exempt properties.
Gotcha.
So I think I need to talk to Heather about that a bit.
Okay. What else? Is there any other sort of pending issues that we...
Well, the big one, of course, is figure out, you know, where do you want this to cover? And how do you want to structure it in terms of, you know, a citywide or by specific areas and create sub-districts, or what sidewalks do you want to cover and how do you want to, you know, deal with that?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how it's going to work, given that the connectivity project is going to cover a significant sidewalk aspect. I'm not sure.
How far does that go?
That's to be determined, how many of the sidewalks in that district they will actually redo.
When is that getting determined?
In the next couple of months. So that's why I was sending them also to the DRI.
Right. Well, it's more important for them for that project because that's doing actual design work.
Right.
But there are no design elements in this law.
Right.
Because it refers to the general, you know, the city design standards, mm-hmm. which we should change to incorporate that. But we don't need to do that in here.
Got it.
But, oh, that was the other point I was going to make is what they brought up with it. I was asking about the relative cost. They were talking more cost benefit. But you have in this existing law a set fee per foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering is we need to probably change that so can that get us, and the assessment can be made periodically. Maybe I want to start it with an initial assessment and then write in a provision that after 5 years, at some period, it could be reset by the BEA.
You mean to reflect changes in cost?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
Instead of locking in, you know, X sure. dollars a foot.
Sure.
I mean, I can see for, you know, planning purposes and certainly, you know, political purposes, getting through set an amount now and give some certainty going mm-hmm. forward. But I was going back to the Connects project. I'm not sure you wouldn't want to include those in the districts or in a sub-district and still get a cost and an assessment from them because it's going to build up and it's citywide and it pays for repairs going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be included in much of your initial capital, and so it saves you money on the initial bond or opens up other areas that you can do.
Right.
So you know, you multiply it. But I think it would, you know, you would still look at it in sort of the same areas, and, you know, you shouldn't exclude them, I don't think.
Gotcha. Any questions from council members or the public at this point, since you're both here?
Nope.
No? Yes, Don.
I'm a little bit on the same track. A question mm-hmm. for Peter. Is he still on?
Yes.
Yes.
So currently the way the charter reads is that as commissioner, if a complaint is pushed forward, you determine the course of that complaint, correct?
That's my understanding of the charter, correct.
Okay. So can we snapshot this in terms of my understanding is that someone followed the process through the ADA, through the website, took pictures of a sidewalk on Glenwood Boulevard. That is a real big issue. And can you kind of follow that to see the time frame and see how long an issue is resolved currently with that situation? Can you look into that and see where it is? You know, in terms of the process of getting that resolved.
You're describing, Dominic, a real issue, a real complaint?
Yes. It went through the ADA, you know, the process on the website with the photos, with the formal complaint. Can you, and then you can kind of update me offline if you need to, but I'm just trying to get a snapshot of what the current process is, how long it takes. Now we're talking this issue, it's a single issue. I imagine there could be more, or, you know, what is the actual hang up into making this a reality in terms of the time frame?
Okay, I will do that.
Well, one problem is, you know, with Michael leaving last week, we lost our ADA compliance officer. So do you know how long ago it was, Dominic, the complaint?
It was actually while Michael was there, because Michael responded that it is now, you know, in the next process, either with code or whatever. So, you know, so if Peter's part of this process in making it happen, I would, you know, it maybe this can be a template or sample of what are deficiencies, what are the issues, what are the hold up to moving this forward.
Well, I'm sure you're aware, Dominic, of the old rule, which is, the city can just, if the property owner doesn't do it in a timely fashion, the city can do it and then charge the property owner.
Right. Yeah. So, but I'm saying as a sample, maybe we can use this since this individual followed the process,
right?
The ADA and all that,
right?
And if the city has to do that resolution, you know, let's do it and say, okay, this mm-hmm. is the template, this is a sample in terms of start to finish, what the time frame looked like,
right? And all of course, right, this larger project is a way to avoid having to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. But meanwhile,
well, I hear you.
Yeah, we can't stand still on you know making things resolved. But thank right. you,
Dominic. I'll try to track that down and I'll respond to you.
Great, thanks, Peter. Right.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, Malachi here.
Sure.
Can somebody just remind me again of the cost of this full project?
Well, that's not really determined yet, because the way it's going to work is that we will fund it with a bond to get it going, but then it'll be dispersed through an assessment to all different members of the community based on how much, what kind of building it is, and how much sidewalk space there is.
Okay.
And the key here is that a lot of buildings that don't pay property taxes can be assessed for this. So they'll be contributing. I mean, if you think of all the, for example, the hospital sidewalks would figure into it. Does that answer your question, Malachi?
Yep. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? So, I guess we'll continue to move along on this, and thanks everybody for coming. Maybe, you know, we'll have something more solid pretty soon and get this done before this council term is over. Get it moving. Thank you all, and I'll see you at 7 for our regular
meeting. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, everyone.